Welcome to the Edinburgh City Supporters Club podcast. We hope you enjoy the show.
Well, hello everybody and welcome to the latest edition of the very unofficial Edinburgh City Supporters Club podcast. Once again, I am your host, the Right Reverend Bobby Love, joined as ever by Mr. Rooney, Citizen Neil. How are we doing tonight?
Very good, mate. Very good. This light that I've now got that I've been donated to, I'm just realising I'm quite sun-kissed with this golf that I'm getting. So, with a bright white background and that, just the golfer's tan.
Is that not the rosy cheeks for the takeaway pints?
Well, I thought I may as well. Other beers are available, but hopefully potential local base when we move back to Meadowbank.
Yes, citizens, a local beer supplier is the Belfield Brewery for when we go back to Meadowbank, which we will discuss later, is only about 300 yards from the door. And the pints are awesome. I can't wait to go on Sunday and finally get released at this fucking lockdown. Anyway.
Sorry, but otherwise I'm very well, thank you. Yes, thanks.
And also joining us, he's back, folks, the man who puts the M into moans, it's Mr. Monks, Ali Moncrieff. How are we doing?
Yeah, not bad at all, guys. Not bad at all. Had a daily good after the wee one today, so going up and down Leith Walk, seeing some of the less salubrious drinking locations in the city. Less salubrious than Belfield Brewery, anyway. Starting to get opened up, so it's great to see the boys at the Spey Lounge have been able to find their way back to that wall outside Tesco. So some things never change.
Oh, the Spey Lounge! It's just there's for the listeners that don't know what the Spey Lounge is like. If you can think of the bar in Star Wars when Han Solo shoots the boy, it's a bit like that, except worse.
There's more characters in it.
That's about as best as way I can sell it, really. Anyway, aye, apart from that, yeah, aye, all good here for me. I had to set fire to Willie Rennie's face today because I was trying to light a candle. I couldn't get the lighter on fire off. So I had to light fire to Willie Rennie's face on one of them leaflets to get it kind of in. And that worked. So I was quite happy.
I hope you were practicing, obviously, as the boy Ross was. How's your Atomic Kitten karaoke piece? Is it as good as his?
No comment. Certainly wouldn't be singing Atomic Kitten at our karaoke anyway. Right, anyway, that's enough. This rubbish, listeners. You're obviously here to listen about the team. So, right, we're going to do the usual games, bit of player focus. There's going to be chats, injuries. It's going to be a pretty longer pod, I think. And obviously, we've got the huge news of returning to Meadowbank to talk about. So, first game, whistle stop tour, because there's been a lot. First game, Cowdenbeath away for the last pod. We won 3-1. A pretty good result. Blair scored an absolute beauty with that kind of chest-down volley, turnaround shot. He's apparently claiming another one, which was Liam Brown's. And apparently he's claiming another one, which Lee Hamilton allegedly got the last touch on. Anyway, a good win away at Cowdenbeath, a place that we've struggled to win at. I think I looked at the stats, it's the first win up there in 3-4 years.
Yeah.
Not a bad performance, Rooney.
No, not bad. Yeah, hi. We got that from Blair on the night, didn't we? We were like tweeting. No, definitely my goal, lads. All right, okay then. It looks like he was like, no, it's definitely mine. We're like, all right, okay. Who are we to argue? But aye, good performance. It's a proper football ground. Nothing. It sounds really cliche when we say it's not easy to go anywhere. But you know, it's even sitting in the stand, B, you're like, am I going to go through this floorboard when I like get up at some point, go to the steps or whatever? It's a proper ground, so it's a difficult place to go. Pitch is always a bit, but you know what I mean. You expect that in lower league football compared to. But everywhere seems to have a really, really good pitch now. You know, the standard of pitches seem to be really high for a lot of the teams. So, another really, 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 really good performance. Liam Brown's just, you know, especially since we've come back out of lockdown. I know we'll go into it further, but seems to have just found another gear, which is great.
Aye, I see. As you mentioned about the pitch, I think that's how Blair got injured. His boot got caught in the pitch and he fell on top of his elbow. So I dislocated that, so I went out for a few weeks. Ali, Cowdenbeath?
Yeah, I thought, actually, when when the lineups were announced, I think I put a message in the group chat that actually that Cowan Beath team doesn't look too bad. I thought I was a bit surprised to see how far down they are, but then they were rubbish for most of the game, and we kind of rolled with them. It was actually a really good game, like, and that was this. We've talked about it a few times, but we've been really good to watch under Naismith. We just a bit more attacking it, and it was actually a genuinely enjoyable game of football, which you don't always expect on a Tuesday night in Cowan Beath, to be honest with you. And you've got to say fair play to the Cowan Beath left back, I think Harvey Swan, that scored the goal. His goal was incredible, like absolutely amazing, and another couple of amazing runs. But just looking at my notes there, I had Blair down as one goal. He thinks three. I think soccer base, or just looking at having as two. Anyone's guess, to be honest with you. Absolutely,
well, but I was going to say, by all accounts, he walked away with the match ball, and nobody was really arguing. But everybody's like, nah. The one last thing I'll say about the Cowan Beath game is I was very impressed with our commentators on Cowan Beath television. Usually, I think we're all watching a lot of streams around the leagues, both our own league and higher up, that they can be of varying quality, and I know it's tough for a lot of guys who maybe not had any kind of practice or anything, and yes, we take into account it as club TV, so there's going to be a bit of bias, but I thought the guys were really good. They explained the game well, when they really biased, it was just really good to hear for a change, so top stuff. Next game, Scottish Cup tie, but a heartbreak against Forfar, 2-2, obviously I had two goals early doors, Uzi. Then that wonder strike for Lee Hamilton, they got the goal of the round. I'm not sure what was better, Lee Hamilton's goal or Liam Henderson's celebration. As you can hear very clearly for Tommy Lee's pitch side camera. Bit of a pisser, we lost on pens. Pragmatically, probably a good thing we went out, Ali.
I was a bit disappointed because, you know, ended up with a decent draw away to Dundee United. But then again, we wouldn't get to go anyway, so... You know, how good is a good draw in this the current climate? You know what? I don't think there's a huge amount you can say other than we actually played really well. Certainly going forward, I thought some of the football we played was tremendous. You know, last kick is where we drop out. It's not one that, you know, it looks like Forfar will drop down. I don't think there's any doubt about that now into League Two. I think we're a better team than them, if I'm honest with you. I really do. And yeah, we probably didn't need that extra game on the fixture pile up. It was a sore one to take, there's no doubt about it, but I think it was another really encouraging performance because going forward we were tremendous, absolutely tremendous, I thought.
Yep, absolutely, totally agree. I was watching one of our friends, Els, and he thought it was just a brilliant performance. Took a real shine to Danny Jardine, who we'll talk about later on. Although that Forfar goal that got us back into it, I thought was an absolute beauty. Rooney?
I'll be on the other side of the fence. I would have liked a cut run. You know, there's a lot of average teams in it that we probably could, you know, give a right go at, even some of the Premier League teams, you know, who aren't that great. And it'd be nice to tuck away. To be fair, we'd probably Kyle Lafferty playing for Kilmarnock, but it'd be nice to tuck away Kilmarnock, you know what I mean, or something like that, you know, somebody who's struggling at the bottom of the league, or the guys to put in a good show. I don't even know if we would class that as a glamour tie, we've been too snobby saying that's a glamour tie, but you know what I mean. I suppose it's different just now because we can't go. If the congestion was there, then we could go. I would be like, aye, we want a cup run, you'd want to go as far as we can. You know what I mean? Win another round would be great. I mean, we could have been at Pittodrie, although that's not very nice to go to. It's a bit of a dump to the ground. But you know what I mean? We could have been somewhere like that, or you could have been at, I don't know. The romance of the cup doesn't, you know, I like it, so I would have loved to go further. But it just shows you that, you know, every team's going to struggle, apart from Queen's Park, who are full time in our league, because all the guys that are, you know, I mean, we watched Cowan Beath and we were sitting at the end talking about the guys, the commentators. You know, the guys are having their post-match team talk on the pitch and half of them are sitting on the deck, knackered. I'd hate to think what they were like after Forfar. Okay, you could see some of the guys being like, I need a sub. Like, well, you're not getting more good. He's in worse condition than you, you know. So, yeah, a good performance, a bit unlucky. It'd be nice to move through, but we'll take the positives.
Aye, I mean, I'm not going to say much other than it was sickening away to kind of lose right then. But I think, as I said in the group chat this year, I wasn't that fussed if we won, because one, the pile up of games, and two, if we did get a big name, we couldn't go. I would rather have a big name where we can actually be in the stadium. You know what I mean? It would have been a pissers on somebody like, say, Hibs or Rangers, say, away for him, and then we can't go. So we would have got TV income probably, but it doesn't really substitute for actually being there. Right, next game, Annan. Uzi scored an equaliser. It was a pretty dull game, if I remember correctly. Much to say on that one, chaps?
I just think it was the first game we looked knackered. I think it was the first game that we looked like the pile-up was starting to maybe just affect some of the guys. We've always had tight games against Anna, and this one wasn't any different. I suppose the good thing was we reacted really quickly to going behind. I think it was a penalty for them. I thought it was a penalty in real time. It looked like it was, but watching it back, I think it was very, very soft. The guy was waiting for the contact to come and threw himself down. But you know what? We went straight back up the park and got the equaliser, which shows a good reaction going behind. It hadn't really happened much under Naismith. But yeah, for me, it was the first one where I thought, the guys look out on their feet a bit here, which is understandable. So there wasn't one where I was, you know, really worried about it or want to criticise the players. But yeah, not the best performance under Naismith so far.
All right.
Yeah. Can't really add to that. It's a bit of a snooze fest, wasn't it? So,
yep.
In the politest way, yeah.
Right, next one. Sunar away, a 1-0 win. I think it was Brune that scored there. Another cracking performance for Liam Brune, actually. Wasn't really much to say about this game either. The wind was awful. We had it in the first half. They had it in the second half. They kind of pushed us a bit in the second half. It would have ended resolutely. It was probably the worst attacking game under the new gaffer. But a win's a win. That's all that really matters at this stage. We watched it together, Rooney.
That was a better performance because it's a sticky away tie. I mean, we were talking about how you went to Broda a few years ago on the bus, and it's, you know, it's arguably as hard or as far to get to, you know. You go to the end of the earth, instead of turning right for Broda, you turn left for Stranraer. You know, it's genuinely, I've done it with one of my dad's pals driving. Mark, and you know, he knows his stuff, but it does feel like it takes you to the end of the earth and back to get there. It takes you that long, and that was in a car, you know. At least if we'd been in a minibus, we all have to have a bit of banter, but even then, we'd have been an hour in and gone, are we there yet? I can imagine that would have been brilliant. but it's a great, it's another difficult place to go. You're away from home, like Gowden Beath, they're away from home playing against a team that's come down. You know, you when you're at home, you've really got to try and force the game. It's your home tie. You've got to get, for what advantage you get at the moment, we're playing at home. I suppose the travel's a big thing for us, you know, at our level. You've got to take advantage of it. And, you know, we've played really, really well. A good away performance. A good sticky, dig-in away performance.
Yep. Ali? I
thought it was another game, actually, where we started really quickly. I think that's another hallmark of the brief Naismith regime, is that we come out of the traps, we really do, which is great. We go and impose ourselves on games, and we scored, I think, 4 or 5 minutes. In fact, it might even be earlier than that. And we could have another couple. After then, we did drift off. The weather was difficult, and they're a decent enough side. You know, they're obviously up and pretty close to us in terms of the league. So I wouldn't say we were hanging on. We did deserve the win, but anyway, win. And it just feels like the games, I know we're rattling through these, but that's what it feels like, sitting watching the games. They just come thick and fast. Like, I wasn't even sure, like, we were recording on Tuesday. If you'd asked me yesterday, are City playing tomorrow? I'd be like, maybe, I don't know, but it's Thursday we're playing, and then Saturday. So it just felt like one of those games that you tick off. But it was the start again, and Liam Brown, mentioned him 3 or 4 times already. Yeah, he's just been absolutely outstanding since he came in, and that was another great display.
Aye, can I really complain? As I say, wins a win. Defended really well in the second half. I thought Lee Hamilton, John Tappan was superb, actually. But there we go. Breaking at home a few days later, 2-1 win, early doors. We got a goal for Danny Handlin. We're thinking, oh, yes, here we go, after seeing some of Breaking's results the past few. And, well, they surprised everybody. I thought they played really well against us. We looked to be a bit tired, but that's the same for both teams. It's surprising watching them at the bottom of the league, to be honest. But then when you hear other fans talk about how poor they've been against them, I don't know. We were poor. I mean, it was a wonder goal for Rafa De Vita that got us out of the mire there, really. Ali?
Yeah, I think, again, really early goal after having missed a chance to force the corner for it. So it was one of those ones you thought, we're going to win this 5-0 here, because Breakin are, you know, at the bottom of the league, a really young team. They've been beaten every week. You think their heads are going to go, we are flying. But I just thought they were really good. Like, they looked so much better than I expected. I think, yeah, the goal from Rafa was tremendous, and he had a great camera angle on it. He knew it was in a second he hit it, which was great. You often miss that, and when you just got one camera in a game, you never get the perfect angle. But that one was. Yeah. I think most folk expect Breakin to, if they do get a pyramid playoff game, who knows whether that's going ahead or not. I think most folk expected them to just get beaten by either, you know, by the Broad or Kelly. I'm not so sure now, actually. I thought I saw enough from them to think they could be a pretty sticky opposition and maybe hang on in the league. I think they're winning tonight, actually.
Last I checked, they were 2-9 up on Cowdenbeath.
Yeah, so there's more about them than we expected. So again, it was great to get it there. It needed that.
Oh, is that Ali's laptop away again? By the way, it's a great pause.
It is, actually. This will be good for the YouTube YouTube watchers.
Like, we are recording this. Ali does go. Anyway, right.
Rick, you take over.
Well, you know, you're right in what you said. You expect Breakin to be whipping boys. But I think for any team, he's come back. I think for any team, you get to a certain stage at bottom of the league. It's more prominent when you probably see it in the English Premier League. The teams that are really rock bottom and then start to go, they just find a gear or find belief for somewhere, or it's maybe a bit of the siege mentality of going, well, we're Donald Ducked anyway, so let's just have a bit of a pop. You know, I thought, you know, Breakin were pretty good for a team. You know, again, we've won a game, we can't complain. Rafa scores a great goal, Danny scores a good goal. You know, we've won 2-1 at home, let's not complain. But, you know, I was surprised at Breakin in a good way for them. I don't think it'll be as for Kelty or Broder. For all that's made out of them, purely because they're back to money, you know, you've seen what happened to us when we got out the pyramid. You know, it's a tight game. They'll both be tight games, eh? So.
Okay, well, right. So next, got three games left. Queen's Park at home, a 3-2 loss. It was a really kind of a weird one because we kind of deserved to go in at the break down. We played really well in the second half and probably didn't deserve to get beat. So a draw was probably fair. We showed some real battling qualities to come back into it. It was just a bit disappointing. I think the whole street heard me when Josh stuck in the second goal. There was no doubting exactly who'd been scoring against Queen's Park that day. Rooney, what do you reckon?
Yeah, a bit disappointing. I'm not going to lie, I never watched it because obviously there was a royal funeral that day and I had a golf tee time for the morning, so I could get 3 o'clock kickoff. So, yeah, it wasn't that easy. So I need my fresh air at the weekend. It was a decent performance. I was very, you know, I'm probably noise somebody up when he's trying to, like, sink a putt on the 18th or something when you've texted me the scores and I'm like, yes! But then I'm like, no. As quick as that went up, as quick as it went down. So I expect probably Queen's Park probably went, we're the team closest to them, we need to raise our game. And obviously that's why they were so delighted to win. But I expected them to run away with it even more than they have with them being full-time. You know, some of the guys they've signed are really good, but some of them aren't necessarily, you know, they could maybe go up a couple of levels, but I don't see them all the time, but I expected them to run away with it more than they have, if I'm being brutally honest. But I think it was for us, we could have maybe, even then, I still don't think we would have caught them. You know, I mean, it was kind of, for me, it's, don't they sound too defeatist, but it's probably more of a free hit for us. Just kind of erase it and move on from it, but take it from there.
Yep. Ali?
Yeah, it was painful. I mean, the first half, I think we deserved to be out. I think they deserved to be out of sight first half. They were significantly better than us. But again, fair play to the guys coming back into it. It was a sore one to lose. It really was. And you can see from the reaction from the Queen's Park players how much it meant to them to win the game. You know, up until that point, I think, including that game, they conceded 8 goals in the league all season and 5 of them are to us. So I think we can be pretty proud of when we've come up against them. You know, we played really well at Hampden. That gave another high score and we got a draw there. But guys like Louis Longridge, Jackie Tongo, Simon Murray, you know, they are good players. They should be playing above this level. And they're not brilliant. You're not like, oh, you know, they're not, you wouldn't say they're like top standards in terms of their technique or anything, but they're just fitter and they're stronger. And that is making a difference to it. They're just a physically really, really good fit side. And it was just a level above us from that point of view, which is understandable. I think Liam went off just before their winner. I think we were just before. And Liam has been tremendous for us. You know, not he gets a lot of credit for the goals he scores in his 30s from set piece, but he's actually turned into a really, really good centre half, like a really good athletic centre half. So that was I don't think, because our organisation was all over the place. You know, it was a 3-on-1 or something, their break anyway, you know, for Murray's winner. And I don't know if that happens with Liam on the pitch. So a little bit of luck went against us. You know, they're a full-time team. They won the league, deserved to win the league. I presume they'll fancy themselves to win League One as well next year, to be honest with you, because they've always got that cash behind them. So just whether we can follow them up. But, you know, credit to the players for digging in, because that first half they could do it. But to come back and get a position where they could have won the game or got a point was pretty impressive.
Aye, definitely. Right, last two games, both against Stirling Albion. We went up there 1-0, they won down here 1-0. Much to say about it, apart from Uzi's wonder strike after the goalie's error, and probably our home performance is probably the worst under Naismith, I think, isn't it? Ali?
Yeah, we were poor on Saturday to lose 1-0. I think the two teams are pretty even, if I'm honest. I thought both teams looked knackered for both games, like really absolutely shattered.
Yep.
And that's not a criticism of the players at all. I think I've actually been pleasantly surprised at how well the players in this league have looked after themselves. There's not really, you've not looked at teams coming back and thinking those guys have been at it for however many months that they weren't able to play. And, you know, they've got real-time pressures, full-time jobs, all that kind of stuff to deal with. But there were two not particularly great games, and I think a lot of that was due to tiredness.
Yep.
It really was. But we were, no, Saturday was our poorest performance by some distance. I suppose it's just about trying to make sure we get in the playoffs. Whether we finish second, third, or fourth, I don't think it makes that much difference, if I'm honest with you. Look, I don't see it being a huge influence on who goes up. I suspect we'll play Stirling Albion again in the playoffs at some point.
I think the only difference a position makes is whether or not we get a home advantage in the second leg, and I don't think that makes a huge amount of difference. Rooney?
No, the first game, you know, I think we said on the second game, it was kind of like just a continuation. You know what I mean? It's not like, it was like second half, really. You know what I mean? It was a bit, City finished the game how they started the second game, which was a wee bit disappointing. We've moved on. Ali's now been pictureless. Ali's back. Here we go.
This is going to be great for our folk are watching.
What's on my internet today? I do apologise.
Oh, it happens. I'll give something entertaining for when folk are watching. And then folk are listening and go, what's actually going on there? I might have to watch this. Anyway, sorry, Rooney, carry on.
It was a bit of, again, you win away from home, good result. Sticky performance, difficult opposition, grind it out, brilliant. What you want if you're not playing Samba soccer, excellent. The home game was like, that was a really you've already swore. It's like some, you're like they're blown out their arse at that point. Eh? You know what I mean? It's so quick, eh? Such a quick turnaround. That's what, like when you said to me, I mind we're playing on Thursday this week. I was like, what? Thursday, Saturday? But anyway, it's just, that's the SPFL and the bingo machine. I mean, the computer fixture machine that you use.
Seven teams in the championship as well, but we'll not go there. Yes.
Good, one good result, positive, and then the negative sort of cancels it, unfortunately.
Right. So while we're kind of talking about games, we'll kind of skip to where we're kind of putting the running order. Obviously, we're kind of running a bit with injuries at the minute. I've kind of got some notes here, so feel free to correct me if any of them are wrong. Liam Henderson out, Tappan out, Hamilton out, Blair Henderson out, Alex Harris out, Alan Smith out, Darren Smith out. Conrad's just come back. Carey and Knox, at least. Callum Crane, Rafa DeVita, Craig Thompson. Other players are obviously going to be shattered trying to cover. I think, I know you're never a huge fan of using an injury excuse, Ellie, but I think when you look at who's out, how long they've been out for, and the number of games, it's pretty difficult not to say that's a pretty long injury list.
It is. It certainly is. Yeah, now, like, I think managers and things can go to injuries really maybe too readily at times, but in a current situation, you've just read out the names there, and there's some really good, impactful, important players for us that have been out. And then not just that, the guys who are not injured or haven't played when they should normally be resting, you know, guys like Rav Mack and Tomo and that haven't had the rest that they should have. So they're not injured, but, you know, absolutely blown out, I guess, which is understandable.
You can see it, because I think, even just like, for example, say Andy Black, who hasn't played a whole lot of football in the last 2 years because of his injury, he came back, he played well, we had another layoff, and he's had to play all these games in a row, and he's played quite a lot of the games as well. You know, we've not got a massive amount of cover for that position. I think, as Gary said on his interview on Saturday, in terms of like centre-forwards, we've only got Uzi, because Blair's out and Darren Smith's out. You know, and Uzi's played deep enough every game, and you can see it on Saturday, he looked shattered. I mean, he just looked at, like the whole team did, but he especially did. I think leading the line on his own is pretty difficult. Well, it's pretty difficult any time, but no, you've got that amount of games, eh? Rooney?
It's the bingo machine, eh? That's all it is, eh? That's what they blame me. We'll just ram all these fixtures and I ain't bother. But, Ali has been running the odd 5K. I have started in the gym, so we are available to sit on the bench if needed. Bob, no bother. Okay, you can sit on the bench as well. So the 3 years
for me. I was a pretty good striker on my day, apparently.
It would just be like, how do you put it? What's Mike Bassett fixes England
team? Benson
and Hedges get called up for like the 8th year. You could just picture it now, Benson and Hedges warming up at half time, going like 48 and 46 or whatever. That'll do.
I tell you, the way it's going, I think Naismith and Grant Murray are going to have to get their boots on.
Well, I know. The two of them look still in decent shape, so I'm surprised they've not been players, to be honest.
Jesus. Anyway, so slightly better news. Right, what are we going to go into? What do you want to do? Contracts or player focus next?
You pick. You're in charge.
Right, we'll do player focus.
Although, to be fair, I could just amend it in the video or the audio, so you're not really in charge.
Anyway, right, so we'll start with the player focus. I've got on here the two Dannys, but we can talk about Liam Brown as well, I think. Yeah. Start with the two Dannys. Handling. The reason I put him in there
is because you're a fanboy.
Why? Because I'm a fanboy. I'm a wee fanboy.
Jordan, you're a fanboy.
I'm a wee fanboy, Danny Handling. That's no secret. Maybe not quite as much as I am a Rab, but anyway. The reason I've got him in there is because usually when you think of Danny, you think playing attacking play and forward play. But I think as we spoke, like me and Ali spoke on Saturday, I think Danny's been a lot more responsible on the pitch over the last few weeks, and I think some of his defensive work has been surprisingly good. I don't care what Naismith said to him, but it seems to be working, Ali.
Yeah, we were having a chat about it. I think he just looks, he looks more disciplined. He looks, I don't know if he's maybe clearer on what his role is under under Naismith, but there's, and I think he is working harder. Maybe it was a, I remember a friend of mine's a Rangers fan, and the cup final when Rangers, so the cup semi, the Celtic and Rangers cup final when Rangers were in the lower division, and beat them on penalties. He was like, Celtic should have brought Chris Cummins on because everyone was knackered and they would have been at his fitness level. So I don't know if like everyone playing these games has brought everyone down to Danny Handling's fitness level. And he just looks really sharp and like really rapid. He's got like this one constant level. Everyone else is breathing out their arses. So Danny looks like he's one of the fittest guys. Like, so it's maybe that. I don't know. But I think he is working harder. He's looking more disciplined. And actually the good thing is it's not affecting his attacking play either. I still think he's making good, he's getting good positions. His delivery is good. You know, he's a goal threat, a couple of goals this season. And he's in and out of the team, which is fine because, you know, he can get rotated and it seems fine with it. I don't, there's no, you know, he's played it. He played in the cup semi-final for Hibs, maybe. You know, he's played at a decent level, but he's playing his part in the team. Like, it's, there's no toys at the pram if he's not starting every week and things like that. You know, his attitude looks good for me. So I think he deserves a huge amount of credit. And I think Naismith does, because he just looks, he may be a luxury player at times under McDonagh. I think he looks a better player than that under Naismith.
Yeah. Aye, no, that's a valid point about what you're saying about Naismith's probably given him a more structured role. He probably knows his role more because he's, you know, he's in, I think we spoke about this in the last pod with Rab, didn't we, about how you obviously won't see it at the moment, but maybe the difference of an NX player compared to a guy that's never played, but whether that makes a difference or, you know, it's, you wonder if Danny's been told if you don't graft. Not that he never done that before, but you know what I mean? He was kind of given more free rein before. You wonder if he's told if he's not graft, you're not playing. Maybe the same with Uzi. You know, manager comes in. So you've obviously got bags of ability. If any graft, you're not getting a game though, because I've got other guys with bags of ability. But yeah, you wonder if he's maybe been, he's one of the more senior stroke played at a higher level guys like Conrad, you know, even Blackett to a degree where he played at Dundee, you know. Tomo, you wonder as well if having De Vita, because we mentioned about De Vita, you know, helping everybody, organise everybody for the front. You wonder if he's never played with somebody like that before, you know, especially at City, that it's maybe helped, but it's maybe helping him, you know, realise what he can do. So, yeah, all credit to him. He's a good player. He is a good player. Yeah. Not to say he's ever shirked anything or whatever. I think I was supposed to tell him off to take his feet off the couch once in the work canteen, but we'll leave that for another story for another day when I fill him up when I see him. But I did give him the fight of life one day at work as well, but we'll move on from that. But he's a good player. And Ali's probably made a very valid point. He maybe knows exactly what Gary wants out of him. And he's doing his bit for the team, which is great.
I think we've all discussed before that we think Danny plays better centrally rather than coming in the right and drifting in. And I think with Rafa playing on the right, that's allowed Danny to stay in the middle.
Aye.
I think his best work is in the middle. Because if you remember going back to like James's first season when we hammered our growth, that kind of having Danny more in the middle, having Blair right up the top.
I know.
Kind of Sheps and Smith kind of coming, cutting inside and having Danny right in the middle, I thought made a massive difference. And I think that's maybe what it is as well, as he's staying centrally.
I think the difference though is when James first come in, the team was set up to play around Danny. So if Danny played wide right, we've seen loads of teams do it. Danny played wide right. Oh, excuse me. Not the COVID. If Danny plays wide right, you know, it didn't matter because you had Laird and Black really didn't move. You know what I mean? They sat and protected, and Tomo wasn't getting burst on a gut to go past them on the right wing. You know what I mean? So he sat, the team was set like that. Although I do agree, though, because although giving him a free roll, it is better because he can just sit in the middle of the park and do what he does.
Talking about players that are playing a lot better centrally, Danny Jordan, I think we mentioned him in the last pod, we'll mention him again. I think he's been absolutely magnificent since the restart. And just that slight turn of position, moving him a bit more centrally around on the wing, has made a huge, huge difference. He looks like a different player. You know, I think we were all quite excited when he signed. I think it was one of those players where sometimes it can be a bit like, pure these guys coming in, or a bit bad for remembering names of players, other teams. But Danny Jordan was always one about, we definitely can sign him if we want, if he can. He came in, maybe didn't quite start off the greatest, but that move to the middle has made a massive difference, Ali.
Yeah, I wouldn't have been that, maybe even, certainly before Naismith came in, if someone said, oh, Jordan will be away at the end of the season, I'd have been like, whatever. He hadn't made an impact at all. And you're right, there was decent hopes for him. You know, I think we all thought he was going to be a good player. He's still at a good age. A bit of potential there. But we didn't see it for ages and ages, and multitude of reasons why. But he's just come in and just grabbed his chance under Naismith. And I think Naismith was quite open with saying he didn't know anything about him. He said, never seen Danny Jordan play really before, wasn't aware of him. You know, Naismith's obviously managed in the lower leagues, but Danny's probably of an age where he wouldn't have been about when Naismith was managing. So he's had a totally clean slate and has obviously just found his position. He looks really good on the ball, really confident on the ball, techniques good, good athlete as well. Starting to get into decent goal-scoring positions as well.
Oh, he's gone again. At some pause, by the way, that's getting kept in.
Anyway, Rooney, Jordan.
That's going to be a meme from when we're tweeting off the official account. That's what's going to happen. Yeah, Danny Jordan being brilliant, right in the middle of the park. It's like they've signed his twin, or they've found his evil twin, or they've got rid of the evil twin. You know what I mean? To be fair, he never really played in the middle of the park under James. Gary's probably come in and went, this is a guy that can retain the ball and move the ball and do the simple stuff. Get him in, do it. And he's making a difference because who have we got? Lairdy, Black and Brown that play in there.
Aye.
You know, so he's making a huge difference in there. And that's maybe where he's going to play going forward. So it's great to see.
Right, last one before we go into contracts and the big news. Liam Brown. I think we're all huge fans, and this will nicely segue into the next section.
Yeah.
I believe he's out of contract at the end of the season. I would love for him to sign another one. He's came on leaps and bounds over this season, and he really looks like a player we can't really part with. Just kind of playing a wee bit more attacking as well, I think it's made a massive difference. He's exceptional on the ball, his work rate's fantastic. In fact, I'm not sure I can remember anybody working as hard for City since Ian McFarland. He's up and down the park constantly, you know, but he's positionally good. Everything about him this season has been brilliant. Rooney?
He has, like I said, at the start, he's found another gear.
Aye.
You know, since lockdown. Clearly been looking after himself, which is good to see. Yeah, you can't not. I think probably having that, we say he's playing further forward, but if we've only been playing one up top, you know, he's the guy that's been breaking and he's getting the opportunity to break forward a lot more. I think that's probably helping him. That's where if you're playing two or you're playing, you know, a guy off, he's maybe been sitting a bit deeper. If that's where he plays, that's where he plays. But, yeah, he's been fantastic. You know, then long may it continue. You know, he's obviously, I don't know, is he might be in the running to win Supporters Club Player of the Year. I've just thrown it out there.
It'll be a tight
thing, but you know, he's playing really, 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 really well. Really well. So one may continue.
Yep, Ali, I know you're a huge fan.
And I'll keep this brief because as you can tell, my internet is having a bit of a hissy fit this evening. I think he agrees the hardest working player we've got. He is very clearly should be a higher level than this. I think there's no doubt about it. I think he was always quite well thought of. I was quite surprised he did end up at us. He looked for a while like he was going to be almost an Andy Black replacement or a compliment to Blackett, and he's not. He's totally different than that. He's been playing kind of in off the right a little bit, which is fine. It gives us a bit of a different dynamic there. And a couple of times he's come on the right hand side of a four, but he works. It's not his natural position, but he works hard enough that he can still do that. I would love for him to. You would love for him to sign on again. I think we'd probably have to get promoted. I think other teams would take Brown off us, I think, if I'm honest. He will have offers in League One, no doubt about it. Or if he doesn't, he should do, because he's easily capable of playing at that level. Been a tremendous player. He's won a handful of Man of the Matches, and it always seems to be in the conversation for it, I think. It's from thinking back, looking back at the text and things like that, he's just been tremendous.
Yep. And now we're talking about contracts. We've had some contract news over the last few days. Your favourite Uzi's got to sell a 2-year deal, Ali. Danny Jardine's got an extension, and Rab has extended for a second year after already having a year left. Rooney, pretty positive news, I would suggest.
Yeah, very positive news, especially in this day and age with pandemic and everything like that still kicking about and whatnot. So Gary's come in and obviously went, these two are worth keeping, the three of them, sorry. Brilliant, absolutely brilliant. Rab's been a mainstay since he's come in, really. Uzi, we knew what Uzi was from in the Lowland League, and we spoke about giving him the kiss of death in the last podcast, we're sponsoring him, but, if he fulfills his potential, he's excellent, you know what I mean? The thing is, Uzi, when he's not at it, is he still going to give you something? And that's what Gary has to get out of him all the time, And you can see he's doing that just now. We're work rate and everything like that. That was always a problem with him before. So, well, may that continue. And the new Danny Jardine, aye, if he plays in the middle of the park and does the shuttler and, does all the simple stuff, keeps the game flowing, brilliant. Like a guy like that in the middle of the park, that's great to see.
Ali?
Yeah, I was obviously delighted to see Uzi get his deal, and I think, and he'd score the game afterwards as well. So it wasn't as if he just was got the new contract and then put his feet up, which some players can be, some players can be guilty of. But I've always liked Uzi. You guys know that. I think the big reason I like him is there's not many players in the lower leagues who are as well suited on their day, admittedly, who are as well suited to the lone striker role. It's a really, really hard thing to do. And the temptation in the lower leagues especially is to just put a lump up there and just fire balls into his chest, whatever. Uzi can take the balls into his chest. He is tall.
It's going to be an interesting pod.
Brilliant, carry on. He is tall. He can do the lone striker role. I'll take it up.
Honestly, you honestly went that still there. I thought you had went as well.
aye, I mean, he can. He has been playing well in the lone striker role. I think that game at Airdrie, when he came off his COVID bed, showed that he could actually do that. I think you're right in saying it's generally keeping him motivated.
Yeah.
As we joked about on Saturday, he was giving his best Kevin and Perry impression up front after a ball kind of went over his head, and they couldn't be doing it. But anyway, aye. I think the one I'm obviously taken by, which is no surprise, is Rab extending his extension. I think that shows that he's quite keen to stay. He said for us in an interview, obviously things go well at City. He's really enjoying his time there. Dressing room's good. So we're obviously doing something right that we're getting longer contracts, because I think Blair's got another 2 years. There's a couple of them, an extra couple of years as well. So there's obviously, we're doing something right, because I think as I spoke about before, and I spoke about with people on Twitter, sometimes in the lower leagues, it's an absolute pisser to get anything past a year deal.
Yes.
So this way with 2 years or 3 year deals, as it essentially would be with Rab, it kind of protects our assets. Because let's face it, Rab's a Rolls Royce player, he should be higher up the league.
Yeah.
But obviously delighted he's with us, and that's really the main thing. You want to finish it off, Ali? Maybe.
Yeah, sorry, I just wanted to see if I could get back into my. There we go, David. My laptop is rebooting as we speak, so apologies for that. Yeah, so on the contract stuff, it's great to see the club committing to multi-year deals, because that gives you an idea of where the where the thoughts are, where the ambition is with the club. You know, it's very easy just to do kind of rolling, you know, rolling deals and things like that, year deals, but you can tie players down for a bit longer. You know, gives the players a bit of security, which is great, and gives you an idea of where the club are going. So yeah, the more we can get signed up, tremendous. There's players in there that are good enough to play at the level we want to be at. So yeah, more than happy with that.
Aye, definitely. I think there's going to be some decisions about who stays and who goes, but there's a few with contracts that are on there. Andy Black's one of them. Laird Day, if he's still got a bit of time in his legs. Who else? That's the main ones I think off the top of my head. Obviously, we want Blackie to return because we're sponsors, me and Neil. And I love Blackie. I think he's such a good wee player. He just runs about and he does all that kind of hard work and donkey work, dirty work that nobody really likes doing. That kind of makes him sound like he's not a good footballer either, but he is. But he just does that kind of gritty work that teams need. I think that's really why he won our first player of the year a few years ago, just because he did all that and people going to the games when we could actually saw that. Right, so on to the big news since the last pod. It's official. We are going home, gentlemen. Back to Meadowbank. Finally away from Ainslie Park.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be shy in admitting there was a wee tear in my eye when the news finally got announced. I think there was a few of us were a bit like that. It was quite emotional because we never ever thought it would come. We were pretty much being told that it wasn't going to happen. It was off, no chance, council were not entertaining the fact to go back. So it kind of looked like we might have been at Ainslie for the foreseeable, but we're going back. Just great news, Rooney.
Aye, it's just better, eh? I mean, and Ainslie Park's been good for its purpose, but it's pretty shit for watching football.
Being brutal. It's terrible. I'll go on 2 feet. Ainslie Park is a terrible place to watch football. Aye. There's no get around that. Mm. It's like when you're in the back row of the stand, and if you sit down, your view gets blocked by a floodlight of the goal. I mean, that's not good enough. Whoever designed that needs a good shake. I mean, that's just poor, poor planning.
Make sure you have a word to the guys at Meadowbank just in case that happens at Meadowbank as well. But
We can have a word in the clubs here. Just remember, just so it's not like at Ainslie Park. But you know, I mean, the place is cold. It's freezing. It's shit to get to. It's ages away. There's no pubs close by. It's just, I mean... Aye, anyway, carry on. That may be my Bobby's bonus rant later on, but anyway, carry on, Rooney.
I don't know if there's anything else to add. Just be nice to walk to the game again. You know what I mean? We've got a couple of good local boozers. I'm moving on to my second. There are other varieties of beer are available, but I'm moving on to a second of the same Belfield drink. You know,
if anybody from the Belfield is watching and would like to sponsor either the podcast, the supporters club or the club, please do get in touch. Preferably the podcast, if you want to send us maybe a KCB each a month for each pod, that'd be fantastic.
I'll do that fine. There you go.
I don't know what a t-shirt, I want produce.
Speak for yourself, I'll wear it. that'd be great. It'll be good to just go back and, you know, I've done it for before I met you two. You know, I've done it for so many years as well, and then I went off it for a bit, and just being able to walk along a game, leave the pub. It sounds really daft. I could leave the pub at 10 too, and still be early. And it sounds really daft. I used to stand in my local and it'd be like, Neil, it's 10-2. It's like, I should probably leave it, kid, just in case there's maybe a queue with me. And then it started to queue, you were like, oh, I better leave a 1:45. It's brilliant. It's just, it is great to go back because it's not. It would be like Hibs or Hearts sharing. It would be, like, you know what I mean, for a while, or any of the Madrid teams doing it or whatever. And it's just there's something about your own spiritual home that you can't be taken away from. And it's what the team's all about. Although we could talk about City Park and that's maybe a wee bit too far back. It'll just be great to go back and just be. It sounds. the world's going to get hopefully get back to some sort of normality. And it's kind of full circle for us that that's probably going to be a bit of normality because we can go back to Meadowbank. You know what I mean? So hopefully the polar bear is still there, or he's maybe migrated to another location. I don't know. But
we said a theory never came to Ainslie Park because it was too cold.
Well, I didn't blame him. I think we've been down there. What we did down there? Is this season 4?
Aye.
Jesus. And we did the 3 years not stand? Was it last year we stood at a League Cup game? Was it East Kilbride we played? And it was absolutely boiling. And I mean, like, it was only time. I mean, it was like a Wednesday, Tuesday night or something. And it was absolutely scorching. And we're like, oh, that's about the only time I've been down there when it's been roasting on a sunny day. Every other time you go down there, I've got my big jacket because you sit in that stand, or even if you stand down there, it's freezing. So.
Well, on that note, when I was listening to the commentary, like on Saturday for the stream, Alex Harris was doing co-commentary, and they were like, "Oh, it's a lovely day outside." He said, "Well, in this stand," he said, "I had to put my gloves in that, and it's freezing." I was like, "Try standing in it every week." Anyway,
well, I was going to say maybe it does stand every week, but anyway, that's a different story. Aye, let's move on.
Ali. Moving swiftly on, Alistair.
Yeah, so I'd never been comfortable with the amount of money I paid for my house in Leith Links. Probably about overpaid by, I don't know how much, but overpaid by enough to be, that's a bit painful. Those fears and worries have been completely removed by Meadowbank becoming our home again and being a 20-minute walk up the road to with about probably 6 or 7 really good options for boozers before the game. A handful of not-so-good options for boozers before the game as well. But I think, you know, it's where people associate Edinburgh City with. It's brilliant. You know, it's people, a lot of people, probably everyone who first started going, if I don't know, that's where people will have gone to see their first game. And, you know, Meadowbank had its detractors. It wasn't a perfect place to watch football by any stretch of the imagination, but it was where Edinburgh City were. You know, it's an interesting ground for away fans to go to as well, so it does generate a bit of interest for fans, or even just people coming along for a game. You know, to kind of day trippers, which clubs do rely on, it does bring in some income. And it's great because it's something that will be really important for the community around that part of Edinburgh. You know, it's going to be a really important community asset anyway, irrespective of Edinburgh City. And I think it gives Edinburgh City a chance to play a role in that, if you know what I mean.
Yep.
Meadowbank will be our home. You want to have families, you want to have people going to Meadowbank and seeing Edinburgh City there, being part of it. I believe the team are going to train there, which is great as well. You know, obviously, about O'Reilly, I've heard it walk previously. So, if they're training at Meadowbank, I think that's great. Obviously, the concerns are about how quickly we can get that stand in place, because I think as things stand at Meadowbank, it probably won't be a great you know, place to watch football currently. But those are short term concerns, and this is about the medium to long term, and it just got everyone really excited for the season to come. You know, they just want this season over, and hopefully we can get it to League One and be allowed back in again. But yeah, we all thought it was done. I mean, 3 of us sitting here, we'd been told previously that there was no chance, and it does seem, I've got this is not inside info or anything like that, but it does seem, reading between the lines, that COVID just changed the parameters of what the council, what Edinburgh Leisure, sorry, quite the council, what they could do, what they could afford to do. You know, Meadowbank is hugely delayed. I'm an Edinburgh Leisure member, and Rooney is as well. I've not paid a direct debit in, you know, 13, 14 months or something. You know, it starts back up now, but, you know, that's the same for everyone. They had a huge, huge drop in income. The last thing you need when you're just completing a large construction project is your income to suddenly dry up. So they've clearly softened to the club, which is great. And I think the club should embrace that. I know we will as a support, you know, we all can't wait to get back. But I think the club should really look to embrace that and really embed themselves as part of the community. The football's going through some funny times at the moment. Maybe there's an opportunity for a club like Edinburgh City just to to really cement themselves. So we couldn't do that at Ainslie. Whether we do that or not, it's neither, maybe neither here nor there, but we couldn't have done that at Ainslie because it wasn't our home. There was no association with it. It was horrible to get to. It wasn't much fun to watch the game at either. But yeah, just can't wait to get back to Meadowbank. Yeah, really, really excited.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's what you're talking about, the community and everything else that goes with it. You know, I spoke on Twitter about why are people so excited to go back. And it's not just the fact that we're going back to like a spiritual home. It's the fact that it's easier for other people to get to. We're on the main bus routes. You know, it's the main bus routes for the city centre. It's the main bus route for the other side of town completely with number 26. For away fans, it's easier to get to. If you're coming by train or the bus station, it's so much easier to get to. Everything about it is just a better place to be for us to try and grow the fan base, if that's what we're trying to do. You know, as you said, there's more facilities close by. You know, there's, and obviously drinking off makes us all sound like raging alcoholics, but, you know, we've got six or seven really decent boozers. You've got boozers nearby that also do food. You've got, like, cafes. There's that little Greek pastry place that you know that's just up the road as well. You know, there's other things that for people to do round about that you just don't have at Ainslie Park. And if you're going to try and grow a football club in the SPFL, you need the amenities around about to do that. And if you don't have that, your fan base is just, people just aren't going to turn up. And that's a huge, big, massive difference now, I think. So, yeah, it's good to go back. Looking at the programme at the weekend, I think the editor said any concerns that we had about changing rooms and referees changing rooms and all this kind of stuff seemed to have been assuaged. It's all meets bronze criteria rather than entry, which is what we're at. The pitch apparently is silver criteria, so that's good as well.
The pitch looks amazing, by the way. The pitch looks absolutely incredible. You drive past, you can actually see through the trees. It looks brilliant. It's absolutely, it's massive, to be fair. So it'll be,
the old one was massive as well, though, wasn't it? The grass one was massive. Yeah, yeah. Like, it's like,
and that looks, it looks great. It really does.
Only six lanes round the track as well.
It looks like that. It was meant to be, I think originally it was meant to be 10, and now it's 8, and now it looks like 6. Like, obviously driving by, I mean, obviously I stay closest to everybody, I think. Poking my head in and try to see over walls and whatever. I'm not sure it's going to be ready for the new season starting on July 10th.
Just when you go past, just get the student uni card out and be like, look, mate, I'm doing a project in uni. Can I come in and have a wee look?
Well, funny, I did actually ask one of the guys there when I went by just about 3 or 4 weeks before the announcement, and they were about, well, I'm not going to go too much into detail with what they said, but it certainly wasn't going to be a July finishing date anyway. I don't know if that means we maybe play our first few games away from home.
You know, it's like we all live in Edinburgh, and like, we can start, the council say one thing and then it's 6 months. Hopefully it's not, but it can be 6 months later before anything happens. So.
Aye. I mean, I think as well, it's like you said, it's just a, what you said earlier, it's just a wholly positive bit of news. You know, it was received, everybody was just so positive. You know, not even Edinburgh City fans, people were piling in going, this is cracking news for you guys, so happy. You know, you've got your own, like, essentially your own ground, you're going to go back home and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It was just so, so positive. I can't honestly remember as much positive news about the club since probably we got promoted.
But you know, I want to say it's like, you know, it's, to me, there's so many things where, like, we're a small nation, for clubs to have their own stuff, like, I'm going to say it, like, Hearts going to the Odeon and Scotland being at the Odeon, you know, the Scottish rugby team being at the Odeon. It's a big complex. Share it. You know what I mean? When Leith Athletic went into Meadowbank to play on the other pitch, you know, they got all that money as a grant to do it, but a community team had to go and play in the pitch. So Leith Athletic went in to play in the pitch. You know what I mean? It's just, I don't get the whole, it's maybe a bit of, I better watch what I'm saying in a way, but it's maybe a bit of snobbery for the council and just going, we don't want football involved sort of thing. You know, when it's like we've had chats with certain people and whatever, and you know, there's obviously Hearts and Hibs in the city, and then you've also got Edinburgh Rugby. You know what I mean? But you think you would, the council would work with these teams that bring so much to the city, not to just become a student city. Yeah, we're just going to have student flats popping all over the shop, as one of our local pubs might go close at the time, you know, just to have student flats over the city, try and get money. You know, it's not going to benefit me or you by having that, because our council tax will still go up. Won't make a difference. So it's just, I don't get that. Maybe, you know, Bob, you can maybe message your favourite councillor that you sometimes have a conversation with on Twitter, see if he'll maybe come on.
One.
I was meaning the boy McVeigh. Is he still a councillor?
He's a anyway. Twat.
You can maybe get him on and be like, look, what's the script for all this? You know, you think, to me, it just, it'd be different if you sit down. Like, I've been in, and I'm trying not to go off tangent too much, guys, but when Portobello Indoor Bowling Club shut down, you know, that was the same. It was a walking distance for me. A walking distance for a lot of clubs on this side of the city. The only other one on the other side of the city is Bainfield. But the council basically, they came for a consultation. They basically just come down to tell you, shut. There was no consultation or anything. It was just shut. I don't get why the council just don't work with these teams to go, what do you need? What do we need? This is our common ground. And then it obviously comes down to money. I know that's why it was completely off the table the last time, because it comes down to too much money. Eh?
Like funny you mentioned that about consultations, because I went to the public consultations just near the stadium. There was like one of the local churches, one of another local church, and so on and so forth. Architects and like the council officials are like, nah, I'm not interested. It's like, so you're making teams homeless. And then somebody said on Twitter, says, well, what about all these other grassroots clubs and all that? It's like, why should the professional teams get preference? And it's like, it comes as a package. You know, professional teams come with teams underneath the professional level. You know, we've got teams, I think, from 5 years up to 21 years. You know, it's not just the fact of it's a pro team going in. It's everything that comes with it. Plus community outreach programs, like as we saw earlier on, there was helping out with the food banks. We've got the thing with Social Bite and all that kind of stuff. It's not just the fact it's a professional team. It's everything additional. It's like, if you think about it, it's almost like the onion or whatever. Like, we're at the centre, the professional team's at the centre. Then the next layer is like the under-20s. Then the next is like the year below. And somewhere in there is the over part. You've got the community part as well. So I think some people don't quite realise that is what that's what a football team can bring.
I think as well, you know,
or any sports team for that matter, to be honest.
Any sports team, that, like, I know we talk about us, and I've just mentioned Leith, but you know, I think it was only their first team that were there, but then they've been bumped into a few pitches there. You know what I mean? It's meant to be for the community and for the city and everybody, you know what I mean? And it's just like, we're going to put this in, we'll charge you astronomical amounts of money to go to whatever we want you to go to, but we don't want to support the rugby or the, you know what I mean, or the football teams that are in the hearts of them. You know what I mean? It's just a bit like, even Hearts and Hibs, to be fair, I don't think they get much support from the council when they really need it. No. Same with Edinburgh Rugby, you know what I mean? Something could have been done a lot. They've basically, I know they've got permission to build on at Murrayfield, but it's Murrayfield. You know what I mean? It's different if they were looking for a plot of land to help them out and move out. You know, just a bit. It just seems it's, let's build flats, or let's build houses and student flats, and then everybody else can just suck it up and get on with it.
Aye. But, yeah. Well, the thing is, I mean, like, I've not been any shy about complaining about some decisions. I mean, there's some councillors or council officials, whoever, have actually said in one of these meetings, why do we need to build a certain sports centre or a certain size multi-purpose arena when Glasgow has one? And that infuriates me. You know, there's loads of cities in Britain that are closer than Edinburgh and Glasgow that have a multi-purpose arena or multi-purpose sports centres. You know, Liverpool and Manchester and Leeds and Sheffield and all this kind of stuff. They're all of a lesser distance than what Glasgow is to Edinburgh.
But it seems to be, and I've not been to Hydro or anything like that yet, but and we're moving right off tangent. We're talking positive about going back to Meadowbank, but the two councils seem completely different. The Glasgow City Council, and the people might come in and go, no, that's complete rubbish, Neil, right, fair enough, but they seem to be more about the people and looking after the people and looking after their own. Our council are, let's make money.
Aye.
You know what I mean? And it's like you talk about permit parking all beside us and up like our way and all that sort of stuff. And so it just, like, as well, multi-purpose, how good would it be to have an indoor arena? Even if it was out of low need. You know what I mean? Out there. I know one of our friend, Ash Wilson, who does his book, I mentioned that before. We didn't have anything like that. I mean, you grow up thinking, taking for concerts and that for granted. Like, obviously, I remember the Foo Fighters playing at Old Meadow Bank a few years ago, which is quite cool. But it'd be great to have an indoor arena, but we don't have anything like that. The Scottish Rocks moved because the council weren't putting money into anything. The Edinburgh Rocks turned out the Scottish Rocks and moved through to Glasgow. Because all the funding and infrastructure was through there. There's just nothing like that from the council. Look, we're going to go off on a tangent, but let's be grateful.
Anyway, right, we're going back to Meadowbank. It's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
Sorry we had a wee divergent there, but we had to get that off our chest. Mainly because we thought we were never going to go back, so we'll get all the grumps out. Ali, is there anything else you want to finish up on before we go into a couple of last topics?
No, I don't think so. I just think I think we can take the council and Edinburgh Leisure out of it. I think there is this opportunity now for City to make something of this move back. It sounds like we've got a decent hand out of it. It's just up to the club now to really kick on, because they've got the opportunity now. You know, Ainslie Park was a drag on the club's ambitions. I don't think there's any doubt about that at all. So we've got the opportunity. Let's make sure we kick on. We seem ambitious. Everything we hear from the board is really good. So let's just see if they're... let's just see how it goes. But I think there is a real opportunity here.
Yep. Right. See, we asked it in the group chat. I'll ask it here before we go into the last couple of bits. So we're going to return to Meadowbank. What would you rather have? We'll call this a podcast poser. What would you rather have? A glamour friendly tie to open it? Or rather play your biggest rivals, Ali?
Glamour friendly for me, mainly because we've not had a good talk about cup draws. We've not had a good cup draw in however long I can remember. So yeah, let's get a glamour tie going. Let's get some big hitters in.
Yep.
I'm in the spot, because I'll probably go the other way. I think this probably comes from me thinking that Bobby Charlton said when England opened Wembley, they should have invited Scotland. They invited Brazil because they thought they were too far up themselves. But they should have invited Scotland because it was a rivals and a friendly and whatever. I think it would mean to me, unless we were going to get somebody just because Real Madrid and Chelsea are on the telly, unless we are going to get somebody like Real Madrid or Chelsea, I've seen City play Meadowbank. Man United at Meadowbank. Somebody like that. And you look at that list of team now, that some players that are better than... If you're only going to get Celtic, Rangers, Hearts, Aberdeen, and then maybe one of the lesser teams like, I don't know, Hibs, Livingston and all that. Nah, no for me. Just invite Spartans. They're the rivals. Let it go. Make sure it's all blood and thunder and we pump them 4 or 5 0 and everybody will be happy. That would be better for me. I would enjoy, because it would mean more. You know what I mean? It's kind of, you go to a glamour friendly. Now, I get it. Like I'm saying, unless you're playing one of the big guns, but unless you're playing a huge name, you go to a glamour friendly, it's great. I went to see Hearts Man City a few years ago. I got my picture taken with the Premier League trophy. Wasn't allowed to touch it. Two security guards to the trophy. Wasn't allowed to touch it. I got my picture taken. You know what I mean? So that's great. But if you're not going to get something like that, just play your rivals, full strength. Right, guys, this is it. Draw a line. This is the benchmark for the season. Just go out and rattle them and finish their season before it started and get ourselves kicked off. That would be me. But that's just my preference. Get what will happen. We'll not get either. We'll just end up playing a low-key tie against probably Leith Athletic because they've moved into the pitch.
I think I'm going to be agnostic. But what we can say is that you can tell the diplomacy is starting to go at the door. It was going to come. Wait until we finally move into Meadowbank. I think I'm probably actually with you, Ali. I'd probably rather have a glamour tie just to open it up. As long as it's like a proper glamour tie, they'll know what need daddies kind of like. Aberdeen, Hibs, or something like that.
I know.
Rangers Colts, or something like that.
Even, to be fair, I mean, we could really get into it. I mean, I've only had 5 bottles of beer doing this. you know what I mean? I mean, you didn't want the new Rangers since 2012 just because they've won one league title. No. they can go. A few of our players might not be happy with that comment. That's fine. But okay, fair enough.
I think I'd rather not have a Scottish team.
But, it's not a glamour guy if it's a Scottish team. For me.
So if Chairman Brown's listening, if he fancies maybe getting Valencia over, I'd be delighted with that. That'd suit me for
And to be fair as well, if Chairman Brown is listening.
I've got Valencia. There you go.
That's a mammy taste.
Happy. we're not interested in the European Super League either. None of this flying about every weekend. We diddy teams like Real Madrid or that. That's not happening.
Oh, cool. Right, so here we are. All delighted we're back at Meadowbank. I'm assuming most people who listen to this will be absolutely delighted we're back at Meadowbank. It's just a massive thing, as we've said. Right, finish it off. Mr. Monk's Moans, is there any?
You know what? Just because it keeps rearing its ugly head, and I mentioned it earlier.
There it goes.
It's just
internet. No. Oh, right. Sorry. Sorry.
It's just this cold stuff that keeps coming. It just refuses to die. You know, Rangers and Celtic, Colts coming in. A couple of things. We've all said all we ever want to say on it, but I think interestingly that Rooney mentioned Super League there shows you the impact that fans can still have on clubs. And I think three of us sitting here and people listening will know the reason that Old Firm Colts are not in our league is because of fan pressure. Simple as that. I don't think it's down to boards. I think it's down to directors. I think they'd be quite comfortable getting whatever sweetener has been pushed their way, but they know it's on. Fans would not react well to it. I'm not paying part of my season ticket to watch a beat against a B team against a team of kids. I know most people are the same. So I think the fans, for all Scottish clubs, deserve credit for that, for pushing against this idea. And then the idea that it's somehow going to turn Scotland into what a world-beating, you know, international team. You say, oh, it's, you know, they've got it in Spain, they've got it in wherever else. They also have well-qualified coaches and they have access to, they give kids access to well-qualified coaches for free. They don't charge children to play football at the level we do with substandard coaching. Look at the number of coaches employed in Scotland and England, actually. If you want to look at youth development, you've got Celtics, I know they really do push the Colts. They can't even keep a hold of their young players. They can't develop their young players. That guy Mikey Johnson looks a good talent. Celtic can't even get him fit. Celtic can't get the boy ready to play football. The guy Karamoko Dembele, you know, looks like he's going to leave in the summer. He was meant to be, you know, the next big thing. Would it really make any difference to his career if he'd come down and be booted about the place in League Two for a while? I would suggest not. The boy they lost to New York Red Bulls, and his name Cameron Harper. They can't even keep a hold of, you know, they have this boy. This is what frustrates me about the Old Firm, and they talk about developing young players. Celtic had this guy, Stephen Welch, I think he is the centre-half, played a couple of games, got a new contract at the end of the season. Yeah. Looks all right, to be honest with you. He's a reasonable enough player. They were playing Shane Duffy ahead of him for the whole of the season on £44,000 a week. You know, paying his full wage. And he's one of the worst footballers I've ever seen. He genuinely wouldn't get a game for Edinburgh City. And I'm not being facetious with that. No. Shane Duffy would not have played for us. I'm honestly not kidding. And so all of this talk about, you know, good development, you know, for the good of Scottish football, the idea that Rangers or Celtic care about that is a nonsense. And I think the great thing is that fans can see through it and just will not let it happen. There is all this change going on in football at the moment, especially, you know, in terms of talking about restructure. I've got no issue with restructuring, looking at doing different things. I do feel for Brora and Kelty, because they still don't know what's going to happen to them. I feel for Breakin a bit less because the chairman's getting a bit nippy, to be honest with you. But yeah, the coaching, it just seems to refuse to die. But the Super League stuff gave me real heart that, you know what, it's just fans can come together and protest, and especially at our level. The clubs rely on the income from people like us, you know, and we have real power over clubs when it comes to this. So you wouldn't want anyone to forget that when the next try and shoot on through these ridiculous B teams.
I think so. I mean, you mentioned Brora and Kelty. The fact that the pyramid, we don't know yet. I think the announcement's tomorrow, which will be Wednesday. I mean, I don't think it says much for the integrity of the pyramid again by just parachuting in two teams. because they fancy putting in the reserves. You know, I mean, what does that say? The likes of, you know, like the Rosie Posey, Musselburgh Athletic, these type of teams, East Kilbride, BSC, that have put in lots and lots of money to get their grounds and that up to standard, to then just see them like overtaken because the Old Firm fancy the reserves in that league. I mean, that's just not on that fair. It's just not fair on that. If I want to start at the bottom of the pyramid, I'd possibly have less complaints. Yeah. If they want to go and play in the West of Scotland, because that's where they'd be, in the West of Scotland League, and sit there and work their way up, maybe think about it. Maybe think about it. But you can't just be overtaking teams who you've asked to put in all that money to bring themselves up to SFA standard on the chance that they can get promoted into the league, to then just shoehorn two teams in ahead of them. It's just absolutely unacceptable. The whole pyramid, this will be my Bobby's bonus at the minute, the entire pyramid and the way it's been has been a farce. It's like we said earlier on, I think probably in December's pod, about what they should have done was just finish off last season, because at least you would have got a playoff. The worst thing that could happen is that things go wrong and you don't get a playoff 2 years in a row. Well, at the minute, we could be end up with, without a playoff for 2 years in a row, which is an absolute disgrace. Breakins boys, the ideas last week were a joke, right? Play the playoff. Stop shitting yourselves. If you go down, you go down.
Wait a minute.
You stay up.
Same as the boy last year, the way Albion Rovers. They've done exactly the same last season. The two of them have done the same, Ken. So,
but, you know, it's just like, it's a shocking state of affairs. You have two teams. Now, we can argue the merits about Brora at three games and Kelly with 13, whatever. Regardless, they should have had the playoff last year. It's almost right in the wrong of last year, we'll say, right? Now, East Stirling put out a tweet saying, what have you got to be feared of? We took it, we lost, we came down, so did Berwick, and we just got on with it. And both of them were poking fun at Brecon, just saying, just take your medicine, get on with it. Right, if you go down, you go down. Right, it might actually be a good thing for your club if you go down and reset, because you might have things that are better to play for. I mean, Brecon have only won something like, what is it, half a dozen games at the last 90 or something. I mean, that's not good enough. It's simply not good enough. Just because the chairman used to be in the SPFL board and all that, of course there was another 41 teams voting for it, but you know what I mean? To bend over backwards for a team, it just seems bizarre.
The best thing that's come out of that was it BSC Glasgow that had the tweet up. And it's a Homer sitting in the dark and he's just patting the couch really like... He's like, come here, you know what I mean? He's patting the couch into the space beside him. That was brilliant. That made my day when I seen that.
I mean, what's the point in having a pyramid if you're not going to use it?
Yeah.
You know, and it wasn't just, obviously last year, like we've said, it wasn't just Brora and Kelty that got shafted. A lot of teams got shafted. We were one of them because the playoffs never happened. You know, teams in playoff positions never got a chance to get promoted. So they all got shafted as well. You know, obviously slightly less of the scaly things possibly than Brora and Kelty. But you know, teams of that get humped. Bonnie Rigg-Rose got humped last year. They got done again just because it was a goal difference rather than head-to-head or something like that. So the whole pyramid, since it started, you were like, this is great. Yes, finally, right? We could do with going a straight up or down rather than the playoff. But that was what it was. We'll take what we get, right? We obviously benefited from it. Cove have benefited from it. And then it's almost just like, right, we've had two teams. Actually, these two teams are doing really well. You know, Cove have got a chance of getting promoted. We've got a chance of getting promoted again. I mean, we've been pretty high up the league for the last 3 years now. We've done really well after a shaky start, but we've got there. It's almost as if they're like, well, actually, these two teams are pretty good. If you let any more teams in, they're going to be pretty good as well. And that means everybody else will just get shut down a little bit. And they've got fears of dropping out. And I think that's almost what it is, that protectionism. It's becoming more and more apparent, and it's absolutely embarrassing for teams to have agreed on a pyramid and then not use it. I think it's an absolute disgrace, and it's an absolute shameful episode again. Because I personally hope it goes right for them tomorrow. I have some real doubts that it's going to happen. I think everybody's got real doubts that it's going to happen, just for the chat that was coming out in the last couple of weeks. I only like to see how it's going to be on social media and elsewhere tomorrow. It'll be an absolute riot if it turns out that they're not going to get a playoff. And I think if the Lowland League and the Highland League decide to go to court over it, they've probably got a pretty strong case. Not that I'm a lawyer, but it looks on the face of it like a pretty strong one. You know, they're meant to have an agreement between the SFA and the SPFL to have a playoff and just to cancel it this year because you fancy it. last year was slightly different because of COVID, so I can slightly accept that. But it just looks like they're just saying, nah, can't be arsed. Not having it this year just because we can have bottom again. I wonder if it'd be different if we were at the bottom.
Aye.
If there'd be so much scrubbing about or Cove. You know, if it wasn't one of your established teams.
I was just going to say that.
If it was like say, for example, in a few years' time, and something like this happens again, and it's, I don't know, Kelty get promoted, or East Kilbride or something, and it turns out that they get, like, they're at the bottom, and all this kind of happens again. Do you think they're going to be bending over backwards for any of those teams? No chance. And I think that's really what it is. They're scared of, like, new teams and new money and doing things well. So I think some of what we're doing, I think what Cove are doing, what the ambitions are of some of these lone league teams, is it's showing up a lot of the teams for exactly what they've been doing the last few years. And that is not a lot, quite frankly.
Because they didn't have to. You know,
exactly.
You didn't have to, you know. They were settled as it was a shut shot. Shire finished bottom of the league so many times. You know, it was done. That was it. You know what I mean? It was just like, that was it. But now there's a proper fit of it. And I think, to go back with your point, where you're saying about, look, we're having playoffs and that, I don't know how it fully works down in England when you get right down to lower leagues, but if you were going to have a straight up or down, you would near enough have to have a proper league all the way down the system. And I think because of finance and stuff like that, you imagine us being in the same league as Brora when we're not in the professional league. You know what I mean? And there'll be teams in every league that have more money than others, but I wouldn't see that as a financially viable. I think at the moment, what you could probably do is, which wouldn't happen, you would have two up, have a playoff, or you'd have two up, two down every year. You know what I mean? Two draw out, and then the winners of each league go in. But
I don't think it's out with the realms to have the team who's bottom go straight down and whoever wins the playoff comes up. I mean, I don't think that's...
No, I don't. I give you that.
I don't, like, maybe they don't want to go two up, two down, or one down, straight down a playoff and all this kind of thing. I don't think it's too much to ask to have that team that's bottom the league to go straight down.
Straight down.
I mean, it's the same, but it's the same higher up the leagues as well. The team who are second bottom got a chance to stay up, and it's all rooted for them with the way the fixtures go, especially in the Premiership. So it's almost like it's a pyramid. You've got one, but we'll try and fix it so the teams above didn't get relegated.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the whole thing's a farce. Anyway, right, that's enough of Mamones. Rooney, have you had your rant for the evening?
I've not really. I don't really know if I've got anything really too much to rant about, which is quite dangerous because it normally means I go off on one. So, I don't know. European Super League, it's just elitism as it is at its best. I don't use the term ugly old firm anymore because it don't exist. The ugly sisters.
Actually, according to their trademark, that they both trademarked together, the Old Firm do exist.
Well, they've got that for obviously for money reasons, but
exactly. So technically, the Old Firm do exist.
Well,
unless they want any other pitch part or other teams come out with.
We all know that the Old Firm don't exist because one club ceased to exist and was let back in the back door by the SFA. That's a different discussion for a different day. Wait till I've had 10 bottles of beer. Well, I'm only joking. I've only had one.
Wait till we go to the Belfield on Sunday. This is all going to come out, boys.
Okay. I've only had one and a half. But this European Super League is just elitism at its best. Everybody was talking about, you know, NFL stuff and how it's a closed shop and whatever. I mean, Bob and I watch a lot of the NFL, and I don't know if the Americans don't really, and I don't think it's necessarily all to do with that. I think there's an element of it, but I don't know if the Americans fully get promotion and relegation. It would probably be quite interesting in the NFL, though, because the mindset would change. A lot of teams in the NFL tank so they can get higher draft picks and all that sort of stuff and whatever, but that's a different discussion. It reeked elitism, it reeked of, we're not going to consult our fans, we've got money. And then they started talking about legacy fans and fans being able to go, well, we don't need you anymore. We'll just have you, who's got a fortune that can afford to fly in every week, buy a season tickets and fly back out and go the rest of us. As I said to Aaron, who were on one of our streams, I says, I'll stick to watching fishy, shitey football on a Saturday at 3 o'clock. Whether I'm standing in a public park or whether I'm at Tynecastle, Meadowbank, Ainslie Park or whatever, that'll do me. I'll not be watching any of that Tim Pot stuff because it's absolutely ridiculous.
I think it shows an interesting, I think there is an interesting point in it that there are obviously people, forever and ever people have thought they could make money out of football. And when you have hedge funds, you know, for example, people who are looking for either dividends or capital growth to make money out of football clubs. And to do that, they need to change something, or they need to do something to grow the club the way that certainly the Glazers looked like it.
Yeah.
And then the FSG at Liverpool was that they could guarantee their income, basically. You know, guarantee a minimum income. So they need to change. Well, the thing that's problem, the big problem they have with that is nobody wants football to change. People who actually go to football and watch football and create all this wealth around football, actually would probably rather football goes backwards.
Yeah.
Just a little bit, you know, just kind of settles down a little bit.
Yeah.
So I think it's an interesting to see whether that lesson is learned. Wonder if football has, you're not seeing the bubbles going to burst, but football is what it is. You know, like it's sometimes it's not very interesting as well. Football is sometimes crap. We've all been to lots of really, really bad games.
Yeah.
But that's how football works, and everyone's actually okay with that. You know, and it's got to have a bit of jeopardy there. And you know what? Liverpool have collapsed this season. And I'm not particularly bothered about the English leagues, but you know, it's probably been quite funny for most people to watch because the collapse has meant something. It looks like they're going to miss out on the Champions, you know, miss out on the Champions League.
Yeah.
And it is interesting to see how little, also interesting to see you can probably make a good career in PR and marketing because if whatever these agencies that were hired to do the PR and marketing for this European Super League, you could do a better job than them because that was an unmitigated disaster. That was about as bad as it could have gone.
It's like the Ugly Sisters in Scotland coming out with It's Just Us. You know what I mean? It's like the other 40 teams in the professional league in Scotland didn't matter. Didn't get me wrong. We spoke about this in the last pod about how I've not been sitting up. When lockdown started, I watched a lot of football. I still watch a lot. But I'm not going to turn on to watch Burnley playing Brighton. As much as Brighton passed the ball about pretty well, Burnley could quite happily park the bus for 90 minutes and get one short target and be happy. That's fair enough. That's up to them. If that's your team and your team wins, you'll be happy. You know what I mean? I just think there's a bit of hypocrisy in it as well. I like Gary Neville's rant, but Gary Neville has to remember he is part of an organisation that has monopolised that league, all right, and completely screwed every single other league in Europe and the world, especially us, because our league by certain pundits and players and whatever is looked down upon to go, it's nothing. You know what I mean? Compared to theirs. Now, you take the money out of their league, when you go back to when Liverpool became how great they were and Man United become how great they were, it's because of a lot of Scottish guys going down there and Irish guys and Welsh guys going into that league. They had the best of the best round about, which is fine because they're a bigger country, they get more fans through the gate. You know, you know what I mean? I really appreciate that, but I said to Bob the other day, you know, when they were talking about teams going into that Super League and they were talking about Spurs and Arsenal. And I was like, well, I could probably argue with a lot of folk that Celtic and the New Rangers are bigger institutions than Tottenham and Arsenal. So why have they not been invited? Do you know what I mean? Why are Tottenham and Arsenal invited? Just because they're in England. And the Tottenham owner is a billionaire owner. I'm really ranting now, even when I said I've got nothing. The Tottenham owner is a billionaire owner, but he was the first man to go to the furlough system.
Aye.
You get what I mean? It just reeks. Sky talking about how, didn't want to change English football, blah, blah, blah. The Premier League broke away from the English League, and they've got the English Football League, and they've got the Premier League.
I think in some cases, it's not just a problem with the English teams. I think all the teams that were involved had a big deal. I mean, Agnelli at Juventus had a massive part to play in this, as did Perez at Real Madrid.
Yeah.
And I think it's quite telling that the only ones that are hanging on are the two Spanish teams and the two Italian teams.
Because they're scared.
If I was a billion euros in debt, I'd be...
But
some ways to plug that. Yeah,
but it's all. But you know yourself. I mean, like Real Madrid have always been called like the evil empire and so on and so forth. You know, so I don't think it's necessarily England. But what I did take umbrage with was the whole part about football's being saved. Piss off, man. That was almost as insulting as the Super League suggestion.
Correct.
You know, football's been saved. Piss off. You know, that was just rubbish. Absolute pish. Anyway, right, as we're about to finish, is there anything else you would like to add before as we're kind of divert? See, folk come here for Edinburgh City, you get a rant about the Super League. Yeah, what about that?
I know.
Right, anyway, any last words before I say something positive before we finish?
If we can just... The levels changed to level 2 on the 17th of May. The potential last game is the League One playoff second leg, which is the 18th of May. Technically, we might still get a game this season. We might still get in to see a game. Maybe.
Yep.
Symbolic. Last game at Ainslie Park would be great.
That'd actually be quite nice getting promoted to Ainslie Park, then buggering off to
Middlesbrough.
On that note, anyway, no, the positive I was going to say at the end, in terms of our stream, I think it's been a really good addition having players being on the co-commentary.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Conrad and Alex Harris have been a right good double act when they've been together. I think Alex is actually really good. He's really well spoken. He comes across really well.
Yeah.
Conrad was good for getting a wee bit of tactical info, though I'm not quite sure if you should tell us everything about the tactics that are going on when you've probably got opposition teams watching. But I thought, no, they're really good. Just something a bit different, a different voice. It's been really a really good kind of bonus having some kind of input like that over the stream. I think it's a lot of the fans have quite appreciated that. In terms of any, I don't know if there's any housekeeping, probably not. You'll find us, the pod, on Anchor, Spotify, Apple and other podcast apps. You will find us now on YouTube. The YouTube channel is Club Citizens. Search for us on YouTube for Edinburgh City Podcast.
Subscribe.
Watch us and subscribe. Watch and leave a comment. And leave a nice comment. Because if not, we'll hunt you down. No, I'm on. We know where you live. No, and if it's on the podcast apps, search for Edinburgh City SC Podcast. Again, obviously, we'll plug our friend Ash Wilson's book, Good Citizen, Bad Citizen. Still on the Amazon store, still at a very reasonable price, still has lots of very high 5-star reviews. Give it a go. You don't need a Kindle, just the Kindle app. Apart from that, you'll also find us on Twitter at Club Citizens. If you want to join, DM us there or clubcitizens@yahoo.com on the email. And from that, I think that's us. It's been a lengthy pod. Apologies, people, but there's been a lot to talk about. So from that, it's a good night from Mr. Rooney.
Good night. Stay safe, folks.
A goodbye from Mr. Monks.
Hey, all.
And it's a goodbye from me, the Right Rev. Goodbye.